Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Bava Metzia Ayin Tes. We are holding 11 lines off the top of the Yomad, Amar Rabba, Bar Rafuna, Amar Rav. He quotes Rav, HaSoicher HaSachamor, if one hires a, he rents a donkey, okay, Lurchei Volea, in order to ride on it. And the donkey dies midway. He must pay him half the rental fee. But so the renter, the soicher, will have a right to complain against the owner. Why'd you give me a week? Donkey, Rashi says, "Shehisker loy chamor kechusha." Why is such a poor quality animal? So, bottom line, he has to pay for the part that he used, but and he can complain. Hechidami, what exactly happened here? So he stuck midway. Could he find another a donkey for hire? Either shchiach laaguri, if. It's excessive. He has another option. He can rent another donkey. So what's he complaining about? Taroy ma ismavite. What's the point of complaining? Just rent a replacement donkey and you're on your way. Idlish chich laguri. If there are no donkeys available for rent in this, remote, forgotten location, well, agur boy the mesav lei. Why is he even paying anything? You got me stuck mid-road here. I'm stranded with no way to go, so he doesn't know him anything. We're speaking that he can't really find another donkey right here. So why is he paying at all? Because the owner can tell him, look, I got you halfway. Go sell your merchandise there, as Tosis explains. If you would have chosen initially to travel only up until this point, lav agra bois lemesa, wouldn't you have to pay? So pay me at least for that portion of the trip. Hechidami. Now, what exactly did they? How did they make this arrangement initially? When he rented the donkey, ida amarle, did he tell him chamer stam? I'm just renting you a donkey. He didn't specify this one. So then, if the donkey disappeared, he has to replace it. I mean, that's his obligation to provide a donkey for the entire trip, right? He has to give another donkey, as we learned in the Mishnah. So until he does that, he shouldn't get any pay. If he specified, well, I'm renting you this specific donkey, so his commitment amounts only to providing this donkey and none other. So then, when the donkey died, the carcass has to be worth something, right? So if the money received in exchange for selling the nevela suffices likach to purchase another one, yikach, let the renter do that. He doesn't have to ask the owner. Right? This donkey was meant to get him to his destination, right? So if he can sell whatever's left and use it to buy another one, go ahead. L'tzricha, we must be speaking b'she'ein do b'dome likach. The money doesn't suffice for another donkey. Okay, we'll let him use it to rent another donkey. Let him find another donkey rental agency and use the money received in exchange for the dead animal to rent another donkey to get him to his destination. Yiskar. So why doesn't Rav consider that as an option? Rav Latameh, because Rav is following his shita d'omar Rav Loib Chalinun Karna. Even when the owner is obligated to provide, but if it entails losing the principal, such as in this case where you're about to take the value of this chamor and use it for a rental, which is going to just dissipate into thin air, he's not going to have anything left from it. The owner, right? He will not get anything back. That's called mechalin and kar. We're destroying the care and the principal. You see, the Mishnah, which says that if a chamor dies, the owner is responsible to replace. So you're replacing with another donkey, right? So he buys another donkey and he provides for the rest of the trip. But here we're going a step further. We're taking the value of the dead donkey and using it for just for a short-lived benefit, just to rent another donkey to get me to my destination. That's not fair. The itma, as we learned, hasoich or as a chamar, if one rents a donkey, umeisalei b'chatzi aderech and drops dead midway. Omar Rab, Rab says, if the dead animal can be switched for money, which will be used to purchase another donkey to get me to my destination, yikach, go ahead, be my guest. Do that. But if it's only enough to rent an animal, in which case that money will disappear. The owner will never get any money back. Lisker, al lisker, you can't do that. Ushmol Amar, no. His commitment extends even to that point. Af lisker, even if it's only enough to rent yisker, he has a right to do that, even though the owner will never see a penny again. But my kamitzki, what's the point of this machlekes? Rav Sava, Rav holds loy mechalin and kanav. You have no right to destroy the principle. Or Shmuel Amar, Savar, no, he is committed even to the point of mechalin and kanav, even if it entails destroying the principle. Meisvei comes a kasha. Yava sheilan oyniktsas. See, we're going back to a case of mashkanta. If you recall back at Daf Samach Zayin, we spoke about a mashkanta, the surah. I lent you money. You gave me a field, a tree, or whatever to use in the meantime, and I will deduct, right? So let's say the arrangement is after 10 years, you get back your property, your field, your tree, and the loan is sort of nullified. So every year that I have it will be posted towards the loan, we deduct it from the loan, and at the end of that 10-year period, there's no loan, there's no balance. What happens if the ilan, the tree dried up, or nixas, or got cut down, and basically the lender has no source of income? Shnei ma'asurim boy, the lender or the borrower cannot access the tree at this point, because basically they chop it down for firewood, nobody will have anything from it. Okay, tzediasa, what's the fair deal? What's the fair approach? Yilokach b'karka, sell the tree, the firewood, and purchase with that money at least a small piece of land. Voichal peres, and the lender will continue being in possession of that mashkin, eat the peres until the time is up. Asks the Gemara, hold it. You're taking that tree and exchanging it for a piece of property, which you're buying. And halacha is that come Yovel, the 50th year, it goes back to the seller. So the borrower, the Yovel, will lose his principal. He won't get anything back if you follow this process. Here in this case, once Yovel arrives, this piece of property that you purchased using the money of that tree will go back to its owner. And the Yovel has nothing from his whole deal. That's a Kashan Rav, who says we never proceed with a process that will ultimately deny the owner of any thing in return. Says the Gemara, no kasha. My skin was speaking to Zavon Leid Lishitin Shnin. That when they bought this piece of property, right, he sold it for 60 years. Halacha is that if it's sold for a set amount of time, even if it's an amount of years which override the Yovel, go past the Yovel. Yovel's 50th, right? This is a 60-year deal. Yovel will not affect it, will not undo the sale. The Amar Chiz, the Amar Rav Katina. How do we know that if a person sells his field for 60, I'm selling to you for 60 years, then I get it back. Even though Yovel comes somewhere in the middle, Yovel does not affect it. Shenemer, because the pasuk says, "Va'aretz like temachal etzmisis." Don't sell parts of Eretz Yisrael permanently. So Yovel is coming to undo that permanence, right? When it's permanent, Yovel affects it. But here, there's no permanence. In any case, after 60 years, it's up, so it's not affected by Yovel. Misha ain shem Yovel nitzmesis. It only affects where, if there's no Yovel, it stays permanently sold. Yeshem Yovel and its messes. Right, that's why Yovel comes and says, no, I'm taking away the permanence. But in our case, Yotze says, as opposed to our sale, a 60-year deal, which is a limited sale. Shavu b'she'en shem Yovel and its messes, even if there would be no Yovel, it wouldn't be his permanently. So Yovel does not affect it. So bottom line is, he'll get it back. It's not called Mechal Yekarna. The borrower, will not lose out permanently because Yovel will not return the field to the owner, and he will not the borrower will not lose his mashkin. Hold it, says Dumar. 1 second. Let's backtrack. Shimon borrowed money from Reuven. Shimon had a tree, provided it to Reuven as a mashkin. The mashkin dried up. They took it, they sold it, and used the money to buy a field, which they purchased for 60 years. So Yovel will not affect it. So the Shimon will not lose it by Yovel. But come 60 years, he'll lose it. So I've said, at the end of the day, Chima to Shit and Shnin, once the 60-year time frame is up, Kahadra Alamar goes back to Levi, the owner of that field. Here we go. Shimon loses his rights to the property, so he lost that as Mashkin completely. Ella, rather, says the Gemara of my skin, was speaking Bizman Shayna Yevil Noyev. We're speaking after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. There's no Yevil active today. So, ultimately, once Reuven finished his allotment, his, you know, set amount of years in the Mashkin, in possession of the Mashkin, goes back to Shimon, so he gets back his principal. I'll even prove to you that it is so, that there's no Yevil in session. Because if we're speaking that Yevil is in session, and we're not concerned about destroying the principle, so then why even bother taking the tree and exchanging it for a field? Forget about that whole process. Allow the lender, Reuven, to chop it up into firewood and use it right then and there. Nitzlache, chop it up, let's see it to firewood. Menishka, let Reuven take it. If we don't care about whether anything goes back to the borrower. Well, imishum hadle kasha, that wouldn't be a kasha. Zimnin de shalmu yimi mashkant, shne mashkant, mikame yevil. Because even if, in principle, we're not looking to provide Shimon with his field back, right? Not like Rav, right? Even assuming so. But, you know, why not follow a process which has a chance, at least a chance, of Shimon retrieving his keren? Because it's very possible that the years that were allotted to the Mashkin status are going to be up before Yovel comes. So this field will go back to Shimon for the time being until Yovel. Zimnin de Shalmu Yemei Mashkanto, the years of the Mashkin allotment will end Mikami Yovel before Yovel shows up. Inami or another way that Shimon can get back the field and have something from his mashkin, at least, you know, for some time. Maybe Shimon will come up with money and he will go to Reuven the Malva and say, look, let me have the field back. Let me take the mashkin back. You know, I'll redeem it. 4 or 5 years before Yevil. He'll have it at least for that time before the Yevil comes. So basically what we're saying is, if there's a way that we can provide the borrower, the Shimon, with some access to the field, why not do that? We're not required to do so, but why not accommodate him as well? So it's very possible that this whole halacha applies to a case where Yovel is in session, but still Shimon has a chance of accessing the field, so we go ahead and we do this process. So we don't have a raya that we're speaking where there's no Yovel. But at the end of the day, we did have a kasha on Rav. Rav says that we ensure that the owner gets something back, right? Whether it's in the case of the donkey which died, the rented donkey, or in the case of the mashkin which stopped working properly. So how are you going to get him anything back by buying the field? What about Yovel? The answer is it was bought for 60 years. Yovel does not affect it. Here comes another example of a failed rental. Hasecher is a sfina. He rented a boat, okay, to transport his wine. Midway it sunk. Well, if you already paid his rent, you can't get it back, because the teiveya, the claimer, he has the disadvantage. Once you pay it, that's it. People like, no, son, if you haven't yet paid your rent, you're not obligated to pay. What exactly? How exactly did they make this? What were the terms of this rental? did he specify that he's renting this ship, the Yain Stam, to transport wine. Anyway, he didn't specify which wine. Ibn Aslan Amalo Yito. So even if he paid his rent, why can't he claim that rent back? The fact is, you, Mr. Boat, have to provide this boat. You can't, right? Namely, you can tell him, look, Havi Sfinta, give me the boat that we spoke of. Dano my sino chamra, I'll bring wine. Any wine, right? I didn't specify which wine, so I can carry through. You can't, so give me back the money. Elo, rather, must be Bisfina Stan. He rented just a boat, a ship. He didn't specify which one. And he pinpointed to this transport of wine. So why does it say Imlay Nasan? It's Imlay Nasan, so the Bryce says if he hadn't yet forwarded the rent, he doesn't have to. Am I leading? Why not? Why doesn't he have to pay? Name Malay, so the owner can tell him, look, you spoke about a certain shipment of wine, right? Yain Zeh, Havli Yahu Chamra. Bring me that wine, which you can't because it's in the bottom of the sea. Bring me back that wine, but I know my Sina Sfint, and I'll bring a ship. I didn't promise a specific ship. I can bring you any ship. So bottom line is, I'm waiting for you. So until you come back with your wine, which you can, you pay me the rent. Amar Papa, Ola Mishkachas, Lodi Halacha, is only to be found in the following case. Ela Besfina Zuba Yain Zeh. It was this ship for this wine. So none of the parties can provide a replacement because this ship is on the bottom of the river and this wine on the bottom of the river. So in this case, we say, look, Yad Teveya LaTachtoina, the one who's claiming he has this advantage, because the other party can say, look, I'm ready to keep the deal. So bottom line, I'm not holding back the deal, right? You're the one holding back the deal. So basically, it's status quo. Aval Bisfinos Stam V'Yayin Stam. Let's say they didn't specify. He rented him a ship for wine to be transported. So here, the fact is, either one of the parties have the ability to complete the deal because he can bring new wine, he can bring a new ship. So here we say, look, Chokin, they split the money. So basically, he has to pay for half the ride because that's where the ship sunk. Tana Rabban, Hanoi HaSerich HaSfin. Once again, he rented a ship. Uparkala B'chatziya Derech. We figure parka means he unloaded midway and he quit the deal. So he's got to pay him half the rental. Vainly Olav Taroimus, and the owner can be very unhappy with this renter. Hey Chidome, what exactly happened? Ilay Medu Kamashkach Lagura, can the owner find a replacement renter? Amai Isla Taroimus, why is he complaining? Let me just go find another client. Either like Kamash Lagura, if he can't rent it out at this point, Kule Agra Boy Shlomi, so the renter, the one who rented the ship, should be paying the full rate. Lo'ilam the Kamash Chalaguru was speaking that the owner can find another client. Ella Amayis Latamar, so why is he complaining? Shem Rifs Sata Desfinata. Because the boat gets all rattled when he unloads and the new fellow comes in. The wear and tear is what's bothering him. Yach, if that's the case, that's a true, legitimate claim. Tanasa Mal Yosei, it's a true, legitimate claim. He has a monetary claim against this fellow who just backed down Mother Road. So rather, said the Gemara, was speaking about a whole different thing. Parka means, not that he unloaded, then he left. He added to the load. So basically, he came with 10 containers. Mid-road, mid-sea, he makes another port stop and he adds another 10 containers. The Parka, he unloaded some more containers onto the ship. That's what happened. So the passenger, so to speak, added to the load. So why is the owner complaining? I mean, if it's within the ship's capacity, great. Mishimshini died because he's changing his plans. I mean, he planned on doing it on a quick trip, a light ship, and he was going to, he had plans. And suddenly things changed on him because of this heavier load. That's what he's complaining about. Inami, another reason to complain, the Ashli Seirasa, because now he has to add more ropes and it costs him money to tie down the merchandise, which he didn't anticipate. He would have taken some extra rope from the original stop. Now he has to buy expensive ropes en route. So that's what he's complaining about. Tanu Rabban, Asecher Sachamoyer, a person rents a donkey, Lurkav Aleos, to ride on it. So the halacha is soicher, the renter maniach alek susai, he brings along his clothing, the ganusai, his water bottles, umazai noisav shalois aderos, so his food, his drink, for the entire trip. Mekan ve'ilach, but more than that, you can't. Chamar, the driver, the owner of the donkey, ma'akev alav, he can prevent from adding to that load. So basically, he has a right to the to bring along food for the trip, but not more than that. Now the chamar, the owner, maniach alav se'irim v'tevin umezanoisav shalois hayoyim, he has a right to bring much less. He'll bring the animal feed, the barley, the hay, right, and his personal food for that day only, not for the entire trip, only for that day. More than that, soicha ma'akeval of the renter is going to hold him back from adding to the load. Asks the Gemara, why this discrepancy? Soicha brings for the entire trip, the owner only for that day. What exactly is going on? Either sheikh lemizban, if there is food accessible along the road, chamer nami la'akiv, so the owner can prevent the renter from bringing more than a day's worth. Either sheikh lemizban, if you can't find food on the road, soicher nami la'akiv, so the renter shouldn't be preventing the owner from bringing more than a day's feed. Amar Papa Tzricha was speaking to sheikh lemitrach lemizban. With enough effort, you can buy. Ma'avno la'avno, at the road stop, right? So every night, when they get to the road stop, whatever they can find. So Chamor, the owner, Darkei, Lemitrach Lemizban, it's part of the job. He's accustomed to this idea of looking for food, and. So therefore, he's only allowed for that day, but past which, he's got to find more supplies elsewhere. Soicher Lav Darkei Lemitrach Lemizban, but the passenger is not accustomed to driving around and finding food, so he's allowed to bring for the entire trip. Tan Rabban, HaSoicher HaSachamor, Lirkavala ish, a person is secher, a donkey for a male passenger. Lirkavala ish, he can't put a female passenger on it. And the Sma says isha is typically heavier than a man. On the other end, isha, if he rented it for an isha, rechavala ala ish, you can have a man ride on the donkey instead. The isha, if he rents it for an isha, irrespective of her size, being dodo, being tana, filum beres, even if she's expecting, it's understood that she can ride on it. Vafilumanikin, if she's nursing with her baby. Well, it says the Gemara Ashtem and Nika Amris, if you're allowing a nursing mother, which entails two individuals, so to speak, so then Afilu Meberes, Ashtem and Nika Amris, if you're allowing Isha to bring along her nursing baby, Meberes Meboye, it goes without saying that she's just expecting, of course she can come along. Amra Papa Meberes Vihime Nika Kamar, he meant double, triple load. She's an Isha who is, number one, expecting and also nursing. Still, if he rented for the Isha, so in whichever state she is, it's okay. We learn from here, Binisa, the fact that the Isha Mu'uberes is considered heavier than an ordinary Isha because of her additional load within her. So we see that Binisa, a fish, a karsa, takla, its weight is based on the size of its innards, of its intestines. So basically, Rashi says, im kreisa gadol mishkala yoiser, if it has a bigger belly, it weighs more. And the point here is, manav kamina, what's the point of knowing this? When you go buy a fish, if you see it has a big belly, don't buy it until you empty out the meyayim, the innards, and then you go buy it. And Taisa says, well, obviously, what's the point of proving that an ishim uberes is heavier than... So Taisa says, older from Shalom, the Gemara, and he says, the Gemara means to say that the combined weight is more than the individual weight of the Isha and the unborn child. Is that combination with all the materials and fluids, whatever involved, make her heavier than if it was just the Isha herself together with the newborn himself. So that combination makes her a heavier load. And the same thing by the fish. Or similar by the fish. In any case, we have a Gemara about renting a donkey, Mesa b'chatzi aderech, what you do midway, you got to pay for the half the trip, and you have some complaints, and the Gemara explains exactly what and how. We have a story about renting a ship with that wine. We have the story of the ship where he added to the load. We have the story of renting a chamar, and what exactly, how much supplies each individual can bring, and regarding the identity of the passenger of that chamor. All the best to you and atzlacha.